In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Our Lady, Virgin most humble, Saint Joseph, our patron saints and guardian angels, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This Sunday's readings, you might say, could be the theme Humility Sunday, in that the first reading for the prophet Zechariah points out the humility of the Son of God, the coming of the Savior, the Messiah, how humble he will come, riding on an ass, on a colt, the foal of an ass. And this passage is repeated to us during Holy Week on Palm Sunday, when our Lord enters into Jerusalem on his great triumphal entry. You know, here he is, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Everybody is praising him and saying Hosanna and putting down palm branches. And here he is riding on an ass. You know, very humble, but very, you know, the great leaders of the world would come in, you know, with a chariot, you know, driven maybe by six horses or even more, and maybe even a gold chariot. But our Lord comes into Jerusalem to manifest his power, you might say, by showing how humble he is. And we see this repeated, you might say, in one sense in the second reading, because St. Paul brings out this relationship between those who live according to the flesh and those who live according to the Spirit. Now, when he talks about the flesh, he refers, you know, to men who are carnal. Those, you might say, the spirit of the world is the spirit of the flesh, which is that mentality that we've heard even maybe from Shakespeare and other places, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. That is those who live according to this world and see the world as all there is. And they gratify themselves, seeking all kinds of pleasure, because for them, the flesh is all there is. And St. Paul points out, well, that's not how you as Christians should live. You should be living according to the Spirit, because you have received the Spirit of Christ at baptism. And so you have a greater teacher, a greater example, and the power that comes from the Spirit of Christ, that even though the body will die, the flesh is going to end up in the grave, we, because we are composed of body and soul, our souls, if we live according to the Spirit, live according to the Spirit of Christ, we know that we'll have life eternal. If we live according to his maxim, which is, you know, quite contrary to the spirit of the world. Not eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die, but rather take up your cross and follow me and deny yourself. And those who deny themselves will receive 100-fold and eternal life in the next. Isn't it interesting that we see this, might say, this relationship between humility and pride? Humility is where, you know, we put God as the center. He is the standard by which we judge everything. Pride is where we make ourselves the center and make ourselves the judge. And might say that we also can see that those who are proud will eventually accept this whole concept of moral relativism that Pope Benedict has mentioned when he was Pope, and this continued to be repeated by our current Holy Father, that this moral relativism, that there's whatever you think is good, whatever you think is bad, it's whatever you decide, you make yourself the standard, that this is really those who live according to the flesh, and that that's not the proper way to live, because it's not reality. We are not the highest standard. We are created. We're a creature. That means we're created by someone who's greater than us, and that we have, like every created thing, has a certain law that it must follow. You know, all the planets, everything in nature follows laws. We don't find cows acting any different than a cow. Matter of fact, if a cow acted different than it should, we would think that it was something wrong with it. Or we don't see flowers turning into pumpkins or whatever. Everything acts according to its nature, and it has a certain law that it has been, you might say, imposed from outside of it by the Creator who made it. So why do we think that we, creatures that we are, should be any different? How do we think that somehow we have, you know, even our Lord says, talking about the potter, you know, can the clay say to the potter, what are you doing? Because we are the clay. We are made by the potter. And yet that is what the modern age is saying to God, the potter. What do you think you're doing? We think that homosexuality is okay. Or we think that abortion is okay. Who are you to tell us any different? That's how arrogant that is. And you might say that as we live according to the Spirit, meaning in our minds, if we follow a certain way, we're going to live it out in our bodies. And obviously those who live according to the flesh are going to be very proud, you know, because they think that they are the center, so they have to do everything they can to pamper their flesh. You know, when St. Thomas looked at our Lord that second Sunday of Easter, he looked at our Lord, he saw the wounds in his side and his hands, and he said, "My Lord and my God," because he recognized that Jesus was truly the Son of God. You might say the proud man looks in the mirror and he says, "My Lord and my God," because that's who he serves. And obviously he's a fool to do so because he's worshiping himself. And that, of course, is not going to bring anything except what St. Paul says, those who live according to the flesh, all it does is bring corruption. And you might say that humility, one of the things that St. Therese said, humility is truth. Those who are humble live according to the truth. That objective reality, they don't create it. A humble person realizes that truth is not created by themselves. They discover the truth that is there already, you might say, implanted or designed by the Creator who put it there. And their whole purpose is, a humble person, is to discover the truth, because they know they can't create the truth. Whereas the moral relativist thinks that they can fashion truth out of nothing. I can say that right is wrong and wrong is right just because I say so. But that is, of course, foolishness. And a proud age, you might say proud in mind and proud in the flesh, you might say you'll find that where there's intellectual pride, there's obesity. And isn't it interesting that one of the things we're so concerned about today, even in the White House, they're concerned about how fat we're getting. The obesity of children. I think if the White House was so concerned about obesity, the first place they could start is by stop telling fat lies. So obesity and pride go hand in hand. And that if you don't live according to the truth and you're indulging yourself, then of course you're going to see that even in the flesh that we're becoming fat. Matter of fact, we even say that a proud person, we even say he's a fathead. You know, he thinks he's gotten so big, his head has gotten fat. Well, you might say that we need to practice mortification, as our Lord even said in the gospel today. You know, if we really are looking to find relief from our burdens, if we're really trying to find the truth, we will put ourselves under the yoke of Christ. And that, of course, requires humility, to accept that there's someone else who has the answers, that we don't have them. And that requires humility. Humility is the first virtue that is needed to make an act of faith, a divine act of faith, a supernatural act of faith, because I realize that I'm not God, someone else is God, and I seek that truth and I find it in Christ himself, as I am the way, the truth, and the life. You might say that our Lord is not only humility incarnate. Well, he's humility incarnate because he's truth incarnate. And he shows us that he is meek and humble of heart. And the only way that we will have that same meekness and humility is if we place ourselves under his yoke. And how do we do that? What is a tangible way that for a man in the 21st century to know that he's placed himself under the yoke of Christ is because he has accepted his church. When he has accepted the Catholic Church and its teachings, when he places himself under the church, under the rule of Christ, because Christ reigns through his church. And that even takes an act of faith to see that in this church composed of human beings who are sinful and weak, that yet God works through them, that it's a divine organization, and that it still speaks the truth, and it still has all the answers that satisfy men's hearts. But are they humble enough to accept the teaching of the church? Those who live according to the teaching of the church live according to the Spirit. Those who reject the teaching of the church live according to the flesh. And this is where today modern man has done everything it can, through the press or whatever, to vilify the church, especially those, as we know, the press and those in the modern mass media are all promoting the flesh. They want everybody to live according to their own designs. And so therefore, they're going to vilify the church. They're going to call the church names. They're going to try and find fault with it. Just as they tried to find with Christ, you know, they tried to find fault with him because they didn't want to follow. The Pharisees and those who were the enemies of Christ didn't want to accept his teaching, but there was nothing they could find fault with because he was innocent and without any kind of fault. So they therefore had to vilify him and to make him an enemy of what they thought, or may say, making him an enemy of what they were seeking, which was their own will. So today, as we look at the world around us, to the degree that we accept the yoke of Christ, you'll find that do we accept the teaching of the church, which is Christ's very teaching. And we'll find that if we live according to the teaching of the church, we'll find that it is a yoke that is easy and a burden that is light. We see so many people who have rejected the teaching of the church, and they have taken upon themselves greater burdens than if they were to accept the teaching of the church. All these people who live according to the flesh, they have so many addictions, so many problems in their life. When we look at Hollywood, you cannot say that it's happy wood, because they're all miserable, because in many cases they're all following this maxim of eat, drink, and be merry. You know, we glorify ourselves. And yet, they have greater burdens than the simplest woman or man who accepts the teachings of Christ and practices and lives the Ten Commandments. Obviously, a man who is sober and lives according to the commandments doesn't have as big a burden as a man who's an alcoholic. And what a great burden that is that he's taken upon himself because he's indulged himself, or any other kind of addiction for that matter. So truly, the teaching of the church, the teaching of Christ, is freeing. It allows us to live that true liberty, not the licentiousness, freedom to do whatever I want, but as Pope John Paul II reminded us, and it's always been understood by the saints, liberty, true liberty, is doing what we ought to do. And that I remember what G.K. Chesterton said, you know, that the commandments of the God or the teaching of the church is a wall. And so many people think that they need to break down that wall because it confines them. But as he said, G.K. Chesterton, the teaching of the church is like a fence around a playground. It protects the children within from dangers from without. And you wouldn't want to knock down the fence of a playground. And that is the problem with modern man today. He's knocking down all the safeguards that protect him from himself, first and foremost, from his lower nature, which is wounded by sin and is easily manipulated by the devil, by the evil one. And so, therefore, we place ourselves at greater risk. And we can see that in our society every day as we keep knocking down more and more of these moral truths, thinking that we're freeing ourselves, we're becoming even more enslaved. And that's why Pope Benedict has called it the dictatorship of moral relativism. Because when you break down these truths which save us from the greatest oppressor, totalitarian dictator, the devil himself, well, then you open the door for him to come and enslave thousands, if not millions, of souls in the greatest slavery of all, which is sin. Let us pray in a special way through the intercession of Our Lady, who has come to us so many times throughout history and has warned us, has pleaded with us to follow her Son. Because Our Lady, being humble, responded to God's will, as we all should do so, that she recognized that God was asking her to follow him and to submit herself to his will. And she responded, "I am the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done to me according to thy word." Let us all have that humility that Our Lady had, to recognize the truth, to recognize who God is and who we are, and that the best way for us to be happy is to submit ourselves to God, who is our Creator, our Redeemer, our Sanctifier, but most importantly, the one who loves us more than anyone else could ever love us. Let us pray, especially for our modern age, that mankind will gain his senses, that he will truly reject the flesh, all that is connected with that, and truly live according to the Spirit, and accept the yoke of Christ, and accept his rule over them, because it is truly the freeing of ourselves when we place ourselves under his command. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.